You know, we've done that Friday night. Take time to be holy. Speak off with our Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His Word. Make friends with God's children. Help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing His blessings to see. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Abiding in Jesus, like Him I shall be. Thy friends and thy conduct, His likeness shall see. Do we take time to be holy? Are we trying to fit God and I with spare time? Is that right? Try to kind of squeeze it in sometime, you know. So much going on, so many things to do, so little time to do it. And so you just don't have time for the Lord. Is that not saying? You know, many of those things are talking about full services about how much we have and how much we used to not have back when we were young. Wouldn't it be amazing if our great grandparents would come here tonight and see what we have? Remember when you were in the book of Luke about the rich man? How did it describe him? Clothed in purple and fine linen. And what else did it say? And fared sumptuously every day. Is that not us? Look at what you're wearing. Look at what you got at home. Look how you fare. Look what we eat. Take time to be holy. But do we forget about the Lord? You know, it's a sobering thought, isn't it, brethren? Because someday we've got to give an account of our life. You know, Solomon said it so well. He said, let me say the conclusion of the whole matter. And he had it. Everything, so to speak, as we call it. He had it. Money, power, knowledge. And he said the conclusion is fear God to keep His commandments. That's a whole duty of man. But God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. And all those things we think we've got to buy with, we didn't drop dead and get it, you know. We did it, didn't drop dead. Oh, okay, you know, I'm okay. I'm okay. No, you're not okay. You're not okay. Sin piles up. And you get used to it. You get what you think there on the body. You know, you get to the point like where nothing surprises you anymore. Is that you that way too? On the news, you tell the news, nothing surprises you anymore. And it's sad. Because we're not shocked at it like we should be. Take time to be holy. Speak off with our Lord. We're clothed in linen. Christ consciously every day. Purple and linen. Oh, friends, we've got so many blessings. How much do we thank God for? You know, we're used to grades, aren't we? All the way through school, I was used to getting grades. You were too. And even though I worked all my time for almost 38 years, I still got grades. What they call is a, well, when they first started, it was a progress report, but they changed it later to a performance review. I don't know why they changed the name. It's the same thing. They call you in there, you know, your boss man does, he sits you down and he says, okay, it's your annual progress report. And you got all these things he grades you on. Oh, yeah. And some of it's got something to do with what you're going to make. It does. I'm telling you. Because, you know, there's certain things from there. If you don't do well, then you're not going to make much. You're not going to get a raise. So we're used to that. For life, we kind of know about our kids getting grades, our grandkids getting grades, and so we know that. But have you ever thought about getting a grade, a spiritual grade? Look tonight, let's think about that. Let's take some things in the Bible. In 2 Peter chapter 1, where Peter talks about something here, that he says, if you do these things, ye shall never fall. So that's really interesting, yeah. Because here Peter gives you some things that if you do this, you will never fall. Now, we talk that side on God's promises. And so we know, Peter being inspired of God, if Peter said this, we know it's true. these things that he looks for about here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's read that. And Peter says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, or if they grow, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Now, do you ever feel like your life is kind of barren? You're not producing fruit. You're kind of stale, you know. See what Peter's saying? He said, you will not be barren, you will not be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was cursed from his old sin. Do you forget about that? It's these old sins that you used to do and the guilt of that you got forgiveness of those sins. Does it ever occur to you, remember when you was baptized? I was 9 years old. The spring of 1948. 9 years old. I don't know why for that church. I remember, so I know where I went. The man that baptized me. Real somber time, and I still remember. You probably remember too, that day in your life. That's right, when you was washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You went down in the watery grave of baptism. You rose to walk in newness of life. And he says in verse 10 of 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, wherefore then, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, but if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Now what things? Let's talk about these things. Now the first thing he says is about our faith. When you think of the word faith, what do you think? Belief in God. Don't you? Remember what it says, without faith it's impossible to please God? He that cometh to him must believe that what? He is? Number one, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Precious promises, remember that last night. And so we must be pleasing to God, in order to be pleasing to God, we must believe in God. And how many of us don't make an A on that? Probably everybody here. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We believe in God. There is no doubt about it, is it? We believe in his promises. We believe he will reward us. Have you ever thought about how strong you believe in God? Have you ever thought about it? How much you depend upon God? How much you trust in God? Have you ever thought about how much you do? You might be surprised how deep your faith is. It's deep, isn't it? And you know, you say, well, you know, preachers say that. That's easy right there. Well, you know, some people don't believe in God. You might remember reading in Romans chapter 1 when he talked about people there that did not believe in God. In verse 19 of Romans 1, he said, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of them from the creation of the world are clearly seen. You see it in things. You see it in a bird and a tree, in people, in a baby. All these things, the sun, the season, all these things, see, we see God in there. That's what he's talking about here. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, and God is, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. He said, some people don't, they see all this, but they don't glorify God. They're not thankful for what they've got. And brethren, we've got to be so careful about that, of being thankful. Think about what Brother Evans said last night in his prayer. You know, he told me at the services last night, he said, you know, I don't think I've ever said that before. He said, oh God, we know you want to hear from us. I don't think I've heard that before either. That's a wonderful thought. Because he wants to hear from you. But does he hear from you? Are you thankful? Do you just pray selfish prayers? Or do you pray thankful prayers? What do you say when you pray? And he says in verse 21 of Romans 1, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither was thankful, but became vain in their imaginations or in their reasoning, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of an incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and the birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. And then that chapter goes on to talk about all kinds of things. A catalog of things. Whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, homosexuals. This is all through there. So what about your faith? Give yourself a grade, okay? Give yourself a grade. Mentally to yourself. What do you think about your faith? You say, well, Peter, what about faithfulness? Now, I don't think he means that right here in 2 Peter 1. I think he's talking about that here, faithfulness. Because that's a part of your salvation, being faithful. But I think he's talking about here about believing in God, like he talked about in Hebrews, that God exists and that God will reward you if you serve him. See, that is very exciting to think about that. That God someday will reward you if you serve him. And you can't lose sight of that goal in life. You must always think about, this is what I'm working for. It's not to be seen. It's not to be heard. It's not to this play down here. And whatever we do is for God's glory. Oh, absolutely. For God's glory. It's not for my glory or your glory. It's for God's glory. And we must bring glory to God with our lives. And what he says in Matthew 5, if your life shall shine through men, and you see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven, he says. They see you work and they give God the glory. That's what we're working for, to give God glory. Report card time. Okay? What if God grades you then? Okay. What if God grades you? You say, well, now, first he might not grade you. I know that. I know that. I'm just trying to get something here where we can understand, like our grading pattern. He said, well, you might say, well, it's probably A or F. You might be right. You might be right. Add to your faith. Add to your belief in God. And what's the next thing we add to our faith? Virtue. Now when you think about virtue, what do you think about? Purity. Okay, what would you grade yourself on that? Living in adultery, it's not pure. Living in fornication, it's not pure. You cursing, swearing, telling dirty jokes, laughing dirty jokes, it's not pure. You go into a filthy movie, it's not pure. Not pure at all. You get these, bring these videos home, watch them in the quiet of your home, not pure. No way is it pure. What are your thoughts on? What do you think about? What do you dream about? What do you scheme about? Is it pure thoughts? Remember in Philippians chapter 4? In verse 8, he says this. Find the brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are right, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What do you think on? What makes the news? Bad news. When you see things and hear things about somebody and somebody does something bad, yeah, that's what I figured. I knew all time it was that way, you see. Oh, yeah. You just got through saying your thoughts on them. You just told your thoughts on that person. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sick? That we can't think good thoughts. You say, oh, but we can. I know we can, but we don't do it. Why don't we do it?
I think one reason we got so much. I do. We've got so much. We've been blessed so much. Virtue. Purity. In Psalm 64 and 5, he's talking about the wicked. It's just a short verse. I mean, you can turn it if you want. But it's Psalm 64 and 5. And he's talking about wicked people. Listen to this, what it says. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. Can you think about those people that planned 9/11? How they schemed and planned and thought and whatever to do what they was intended to do. How they worked together. They met secretly and planned this out. Well, that's on a big scale, still. But how many times do people do things like that on a small scale? They plan to be unfaithful to their wife or their husband. A kid planned to slip out at night. With his friends. But they're going to go to Florida on spring break. And they talk about it. They plan about it. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. And there again it goes back to your thoughts, brother. What you think about is not pure thoughts. It's not virtuous thoughts. Now let me tell you what, sometimes you may be thinking you're having the biggest time of your life and you're making the biggest mistake you have ever made. Oh yes. Oh yes. You may think you're having fun. You may think this is a way to live. You better watch what you're doing. Oh, Satan's strong. Oh, he is. He's conniving. He's wacky. He's underhanded. And you come to use your weakest way. Sometimes it's your weakest moment. How do you grade yourself on virtue? You ready, my preacher? I got an A, I believe, on number one. And then virtue. That covers a wide range, doesn't it? What did Peter say? If you lack these things, you're what? Blind? Cannot see a fall? If you do these things, he says, you shall never fall? What is it about your life right now that's not pure? What are you doing that's not pure? Please, let me beg you tonight. There's one that loves you and cares about you. Please stop it. Walk away from it. Give it up. Turn your back on it. Determine never again to do it. Never do it again. You walk away from it. What would you grade yourself? And then he says, knowledge. Knowledge. Okay. I was baptized, like I said, in 48. What's that? It's 58 years ago. So I'm in grade 4. Grade 58. Okay? What do you say that? Grade 58. Okay. Grade 58. I'm in grade 58. Now, if by the time of grade 58, what should I have in knowledge? What do you think? Remember that story back in Hebrews chapter 5? He talked about people there, and he talked about people that like maybe you or me. He says in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, "For when at the time you ought to be teachers, you have neither one teach you again." What? This be the first principles of the oracles of God. He said, you need somebody to go back and teach you? First grade. You're in grade 58, Wilbur. In our become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat, for everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to resemble through meal. That's what we got to do. what? To write them off. Right? Simple enough, isn't it? We can do it if we have the right knowledge. Let me read something else. In Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1, in verses 9 and 10. Now this is so easy to see, what he's saying here. And it's got so much meat to it. Listen to what he says. Philippians 1 and verse 9 and 10. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge, and then what happens? In all judgment. Okay, so if I've got knowledge, to know God's will, I can do what? Make good judgments. Right? And so then what I can do if I make good judgment, I can have what? What do I have? I can have character. And it always leads in God. But we want to have character. We want to be virtuous. And we want to have knowledge so we can make good judgments. Look what it says in verse 10. That you may approve things that are excellent. Okay? Prove what? Things that are rotten? Okay. Things that are wrong? Okay. Things that are sinful? Oh no. You want to prove good things. Things that are excellent. That you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. Where would you put yourself at? You may not be in grade 15, okay? You may be in grade 10 or 12 or 15. You may be in first grade. But do you feel like your knowledge is where it should be? What would you say? Praise the Lord. Because you'll never live above your nose. You don't know it, you're not going to live it. You're not going to do it. That's right. And then he says, add to your faith temperance. Well, man, this should get real personal, isn't it? Yeah. It's really going to get personal now. Temperance. What is temperance? Temperance is being moderate. Inward. You like to get on the phone? Say about an hour? That's not moderate. No. You ever read over in Matthew what it says? By thy words I shall be justified, by thy words I shall be condemned. Either out of words that you speak, you shall give them a count there on the day of judgment. You ever read that Matthew 12? That's right. Either out of words you're going to give an account on the day of judgment. In about an hour, I don't know, unless you got a lot of... Well, you say, wait a minute, preacher, I'm talking church. Okay, okay. All right. Moderate. I've used this so many times. Bill said what Billy told about him. He said, you'd ask... I don't know what Billy called him, granddaddy, whatever. He said, you'd ask him a question, so he'd just look at you. He may not ask you till the next day, but he'd ask you. Slow to speak, see? So that's Bible. Slow to speak. Think about it. Talking, eating, going, shopping, spending, hunting, fishing, working. That's right. Two or three times, sir. Oh, yeah, you want a little bit more, don't you? Working on Sunday. Working at night. What about house cleaning? You just go overboard with that, can't you? Oh, yes, you can. Never let a speck of dust. All kinds of things. We cannot be tempered in several things. If we're in there, sir, they may not be wrong. But we just go overboard. Remember that time? It's in the book of Acts. It calls before Felix. And he talked to him about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. I'm not going to read the story. It's Acts 24. But anyway, it says, Felix trembled. He said, go thy way for this time when I have a convenient season. I'll call for you. He was so shook up. And if you ever wondered about what in the world he's so shook up about, was it just judgment to come? I think not. I think not. He's worried about his probably unrighteous deeds. And then he talked to him about temperance of all things. What was he talking about there? How did you grab yourself on temperance of being right? That's a real good question, isn't it? Would you make an A? But you got so much going on in you, what? You try to squeeze God in your scratch time, like we said earlier. You don't take time to be holy. Because you got so much going on in your life. Because you're not married. You're not temperate. He put effort to your faith. Slow down. Slow down. Think about the blessings of God. Think about the glory of God. Think about the work that you can do for the service of the Lord. Slow down. And then patience. Now here, patience means a little different than what we may think about patience being. But patience means steadfast endurance. And we don't know in life what we're going to go through. And you may be going through some troubles right now, or trials, and you just, it seems like the world is closing on you. You ever been through something like that? And you're just so depressed and so down. I've been through some things like that. And just you're so broken. You're so broken. But you got to know that God will always be with you whatever you go through in life. I'm not talking about living in sin. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about doing things that's wrong. You getting caught up with it. I'm talking about things that when you're trying to do your best, in many ways, the things that happen to you. And the Bible says it will. Oh, yeah. In fact, it says, those that will have done in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It comes in different forms. It does. But we've got to be patient. We've got to steadfast in Jesus. We can't give up. We can't quit. We can't throw in the towel and walk away. We've got to keep on going through it all. Oh, yes, we do. You may be raising children right now. Sometimes it's not easy. It's not easy. They want things maybe that you can't afford to buy them. Their friends have got things, and they come home and they tell you about it. What they're driving, what they're wearing, where they're going. That's right. But you keep on doing the right thing. You keep on being patient. You keep on enduring. In 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And let me tell you this life, what you do for the Lord will not be in vain. See, God keeps a record. And He knows what you're doing. He knows about your life. And He knows about your difficulties. He says that you be steadfast and you be unmovable. You can't be wishy-washy. You can't be unstable. You got to be steadfast. How would you grade yourself that? Are you kind of float along? Keep trying, keep trusting in God, keep depending on God, and endure what you're going through? You know, we got a sister back at home, and she is, well, next month she'll be 95 years old. her hearing is probably better than mine, and I feel like mine's pretty good, but she's being the front seat of the van with me and Taylor Dixon in the back of the van talking, and she understands what they're saying. And she'll ask them to say something to them. So she's very blessed. Her mind is very good, and she's in the nursing home. But anyway, she comes to church. You know, and she's not a Sunday morning. Come this Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever we meet. Lord, where is she going to be there? But anyway, she's very safe. But I go to that nursing home, but you know, we swap out to go pick her up. So anyway, I go over there, and I see all those people over there. And it's so sad. And you go in different towns, and you see just different names and different faces with the same problems many times. And I often think about it as I walk down that hall. I see these people there, and they some smile and speak, and some just have this so sad look. And like one said one day, somebody asked her how she's doing. She said, "Well, not good. I can't die. I can't go home." But what if that's me there? What if that's you there? Can you endure? It wouldn't be easy, would it? Here you are out going and doing what you want to, upgrading on yourself, then all of a sudden be thrust into something like this. What would you grade on that? And then he talked about having godliness. You know, we sing that old song, "Oh, to be like thee." But how godly are we? How godly are you in dealing with other people? Do you deal with them like you feel that God will deal with them? When you go to your job and you work at that company you work for, do you get an honest pay for what you get paid? It's okay to see somebody that works for a company and puts it down. I was okay to see that. Talk about the company. You think, why don't you quit? You don't like to see that, do you? You like to see them be faithful to their company, don't you? Oh, yes, you do. What kind of employee are you? And do your fellow workers, do they see God in your life? You know, I was real hurt one time about something. I knew this man, deacon in the Church of Christ. The guy came to me one time, telling me something he did. How he got around them and told dirty jokes and laughed at their dirty jokes. And I never saw that. I couldn't, you know, just blew my mind. That's sad, isn't it? Do you do things like that? When you're around people that don't believe like you believe, are you a good example for them? Do you lift them up? How godly are you? You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy 4, Paul talked to Timothy at the beginning of verse 8, and he said, "For by the exercise profit little, but godliness which is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and that which is to come." Now, I remember this brother telling me what time he's taking exercises, but I know what the Bible says, my man, about by the exercise profit little. These are good exercises, you know. And know what the Bible says, and you've heard it before too. But look what he says. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and it is to come. And that's a beautiful thought to think about, that you being godly now, it affects what you are and what you do now. How you deal with other people. What kind of person, what kind of example you are. And the life that is to come. How would you grade yourself on godliness? What would you give yourself? You say, "Well, that goes pretty well with number 10, don't it? Being pure, being virtuous." And then he says, "Add to your faith brotherly kindness." In Galatians chapter 6, Galatians 6 and verse 10, Paul talks to you about how to treat brethren, and he says, and "as we have therefore opportunity," okay, yeah, I know I say so much about this, and maybe I need to say some more, and I'm going to say it anyway. But this work that goes on in foreign countries, opportunity for us to help. And I get so excited about this. I'm so thankful. We got brethren that go there and see the need, and congregations are willing to give their money to help that. And let me tell you what, let me encourage you. Oh, you'd be a great part of that. Oh, yes. When you talk about brethren starving, you're going to say, well, they need some help here. Okay, you find somebody there for you help. That's fine. I got no problem with that. Who isn't you helping here? That's okay. But those over there, see, they can't get a job like you and I can. Household of faith. Look what he says here. As they have that opportunity, let us do good unto them, unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. He says, all men, you do good to them. Brotherly kindness, especially those of the household of faith. 1 John 3:17 says, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth this fellow have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelt the love of God in him? My little children, love not love, in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You see your brother have need, and you don't get him, he says, then you really think God's love is in you. Oh, man, spread out, and I preach out, and I got a lot of debt. Yeah, you know why you got a lot of debt? You're trying to keep up with the Joneses, aren't you? You ain't caught up with them yet, and you won't catch up with them. Oh, no, you're not. They just refinance. They'll be ahead of your stairs. You're not going to catch up with them. That's what we do many times. We get so in debt. It's our own fault many times. If you see anybody have need, let me tell you what you did. Oh, I'm going to help him. And don't sound no horn. And don't blow no trumpet when you do. You don't do that. Remember Matthew 6, what he says about that. You don't want to go blowing your whistle. You do it because you love. Brotherly kindness. How would you grade on that? Well, you mean to say that? Preacher, someday we're going to face this? That's right. And what Peter said, to do these things, you shall never what? Fall? You shall never fall if you do these things. And then he says, charity. How charitable are they? You said it in faith of hope. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. The charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Have fervent charity. Burning charity. Y'all work together. You have love for each other. You care about each other. You help each other. You support each other. Everybody tells you this. It's hard if you need me. Okay. And they told you. That's good. You said it. You meant it, didn't you? Sure you did. Well, I hope you did. We should mean it. Charity. Charity stuff is long, it's time. Charity in is not. Charity is both is not a charity. Charity is not puffed up. You don't get puffed up with your wife or your husband. You're like an old bellus bull, my mom used to say. You don't speak. You go down the hall, you don't touch each other. You know, you try to get old back, you know. Isn't that sad? That's not love. That's you puffed up. Something's wrong. You need to correct it. Make it right. You ever tell your wife, I'm sorry, and really mean it? I was wrong, and really mean it? Or your husband, you ever said that? What we're talking about is love. You know what happens to us? Sorry, I got to laugh. You know what happens to us? What gets involved? Pride. Doesn't it? We get involved with pride, and we don't want to say I'm sorry. We don't want to say I was wrong. Do we? You know what? A couple of years ago, me and Steve riding down the road over there, and Dad, we crossed this creek. And I said, "There's Grandpa's Creek." He said, "It is not. It's also the Nipa Creek." I said, "It's not either, but I saw the sign." She said, "Well, I know what creek that is. I crossed it." I said, "Sure, I saw the sign. It's Grandpa's Creek." I said, "I'm going to turn around and show you." And I turned around. Guess what? It wasn't Grandpa's Creek. I said, "They changed the sign while I was turning around." But you know what? I just knew it said Grandpa's Creek. And now when she sees the sign, she even tries to see where it goes. It's got the opposite of a Nipa. It's got the PA on the end. And she tried to explain that, so that's why you thought it was Grandpa. But it wasn't Grandpa's Creek. You know, sometimes we're wrong. We might well admit it. Oh, we think we're right, don't we? Charity bonds is not itself. Charity is not self. Charity is kind. Charity suffers long. Charity. Oh yes, my friends. We must be charitable. But you know something what we think of? Before the five tests we're going to pull our grades up. You ever think that? Someday, I'm going to do that. Someday. Must be going a lot, be a long day, but we got a lot laid up for it, haven't we? We got a lot laid up for that day. But brother, now is accepted time. Now is the time to do something with your life. Don't let Satan ruin your life. Don't be Satan's slave. You can turn it around. You can turn it around because there's one thing you've got complete control over. And that's where you're going to spend eternity. That's the only thing you've got complete control over. Where you're going to spend eternity. And you've got that. We've all got that. Because of Jesus Christ, our Lord. He gave that to me and you when he died on the cross. Oh, what a sad day, but oh, what a wonderful day. When he died for me, for my sins, and for the sins of the whole world. And I want you to come to him tonight to be baptized. I want you to believe. Believe that he is God's Son. Jesus Christ is God's Son. And that's what you got to do when you come up here. You ain't got to confess your sins. You just say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son." Repent of your sins. Besides, you're not going to serve Satan anymore. The life you've been living, you're not going to live that way anymore. Tonight you can be baptized for forgiveness of your sins. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away. If you are a member of the church, perhaps you have not known you should. You may look at this list tonight and see some things that you didn't do well on. You want to come back and ask for forgiveness and ask for prayer. You can do that too. As we stand and ask these things, won't you please come?
Why do you wait this day, man? Oh, why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a life and you sanctify from. Why not come to him now?
when I was baptized. He's decided to be baptized. I'm so thankful for it. You know, we're around the Lord for now. Sitting for the last 4 weeks, I got to do a place, and I'm so tired of it, and I'm not there for him in the garden. He's such a smart child. And I'm so thankful for what he's doing tonight. And I told him, I said, Tyler, you can do me thankful. I love him. I love him to the Lord. You just never know what your life can do. And then so good, my Jesus will be right. And I don't see that child tonight. We're going to have to just kind of make that good confession by saying, I believe in Jesus Christ is my son. You got the word ready.